Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, what a joy, what a fellowship. What a joy divine it is, leaning on his everlasting arm. And as the songwriter said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Oh, where would I be? He said he made the sun shine on a cloudy day. He rolled the clouds away. He rocked me in the cradle of his arm. He even made my enemies go away. Oh, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, on my side, on your side, where would we be? Let the daughters of Zion sing aloud and say, where would we be? And I'm going to tell you something on this glorious and victorious Sunday morning. It is February the 6th. Can you believe we are 2 months and 6 days into the year of 2022, where God is doing the supernatural on the supernatural frequency, where God is making the impossible possible, where he's turning the test into a testimony, where God is moving large and in charge by his spirit. And let me tell you something. If you have not experienced the supernatural presence of the Almighty, let me tell you something. You need to shift the paradigm of your location so you can plug into the frequency of his greatness, of his omnipotence, of his omniscience, and of his omnipresence. And what better place for you to be but on this broadcast of Manna of Speaking, where manna is instituted at the highest level of provision that God gave the children of Israel when they took the Exodus from Egypt. Even when they were in Egypt, God fed them. He fed them the finest. Manna is the very finest that God has to offer. You need to partake of this. Come on into this house where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And this feast is perpetual. That's right. You eat this feast, you will hunger no more. If you drink the waters from this living brook, you will thirst no more. If you are anointed in the balm of Gilead, you will desire nothing more. You will see the very presence of God in today's ever-changing and even to say in some areas denigrating society. And let me tell you something else when we get into the broadcast here. Everything in society looks like it's going down the pipe, going down the hill, sliding down the mudslide, rolling down the mountainside, except the word of God. And let me tell you something. You want to stand on a sure foundation that will equip you with the essential capacity to not only translate the test into a testimony, but from being a victim to be a victor, you need to stand on this firm foundation. I don't care what you hear on the television. Mm-mm. I don't care what you listen to on the radio. You've got a lot of people that's going out and teaching and preaching their own gospel, their own doctrine, abstinent of the truth of what God has said. This new age philosophy of positive thinking and doing things to bring about change does not work. This new age teaching about the name it and claim it, then you'll get it when you send me your money. Don't play with God. These people that do these things are worthy of the fullness of God's chastisement. How dare you eat and devour God's people? And God is not pleased. He's not pleased with these events that are occurring in today's society regarding those who profess but don't possess the trueness of God's presence in their life. Apostle Paul even said these words, let God be true and every man be a liar. He said, if an angel came to me preaching anything outside of what God has said and instituted as truth, he said, let that angel, I don't care how good they look, how good they sound, let them be accursed. See, you know something, the power of discernment comes through the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And in today's time, we're living in crucial, desperate times. We need to be able to tune in to the discernment of spirit. Because if you start feeding from the wrong diet, you're going to lack nutrients, supplements, minerals, vitamins, and you will become spiritually depleted. And when you are spiritually depleted, just as you are in the natural formulation of things, you will become physically completed in the natural if you don't feed from the right nutritional values and balance. You'll become weak and worn down. You won't pose any threat to the opposing enemy forces. And so that's the reason why we've got to get these congregations back on track. Yes, not only are these messages geared toward believers, hoping to touch the hearts of non-believers, it's to the congregational leaders as well as an area of recruitment to get congregational leaders and ministries back where they need to be, taking care of the people of God. Before we can propagate into the world, we got to take care of God's people first. There should be none of God's people living in poverty. Apostle Paul said, I would that you prosper in all things in the book of John and be in health, even as your soul do prosper. For there should not be any depletion. Ask yourself, is there any depletion in heaven? No. Is there any poverty in heaven? No. Are there any physical restrictions, limitations, or illnesses in heaven? No. Heaven sets the pace and the foundational mechanism for what believers are to experience here on earth. But it's only through the authority of the name of Jesus. And that authority comes through having a one-on-one relationship with God. You've got to know God for yourself. No, you can't know him for your children. You can't know him for your spouse. You can't know him for your friend. You can't know him for your neighbor, your coworker. You've got to know him for yourself. That's right. And here's the direct chain of blessings that flow down the pike when you know God for yourself. And all God wants to do is establish a one-on-one relationship with you through the love and through the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our mediator. He is our apothecary. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The very chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. So I'm bold. Someone said to you, it's not arrogance, it's boldness. You know what boldness comes from? Knowing who he is. That's what makes me more than a conqueror. It makes you more than a conqueror. Through the blood of Jesus, through his name. For God has given him a name above every name. And it's in the name of Jesus that every knee must bow. That means believers and non-believers. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And when we set the standard by following the truth, and Jesus said, ye will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and he that the Son has set free is free indeed, you won't be entangled with the yokes and bondages. Of course, we'll be tempted. We'll be confronted in certain areas, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Their might of God is pulling down strongholds, holding those thoughts into the captivity and to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's something about the name. Oh, that name, that name, that name. Oh, the name Jesus. Every day the same name. It brings about quietness out of confusion. It brings about peace in the midst of turmoil. It brings about victory in the uncertainty of existence and the probability of defeat. The name of Jesus brings on the victory. The name of Jesus brings on the healing. It allows the balm of Gilead, the balm of Gilead, the balm of Gilead to flow. Somebody out there in listening land, you know who you are. I don't know whether you're in the continental United States of America where we're broadcasting all the way live, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, maybe even Antarctica. God knows who you are. You are at the threshold of your existence at this period of time. You're at the point of just saying, "Just I give up. Everything I've tried seems to go to naught. Every time I think things are going well, they come apart. Everything in my life seems to be crumbling." Somebody out there in listening land, you need to receive this word into your spirit so that it can transform your life. God is waiting for you to turn away from the situation in your household, from the situation in your financial instability, from the situation of your employment, from the situation of your relationship with a significant other. God wants you to turn away and turn to him. He says, "You prayed and I've heard you. I've waited for you to surrender to me. I've waited for you to yield to me. And when you yield these things to me, lo, I will bring your victory to pass." Stop operating in your strength and your knowledge, for because your strength and your knowledge has failed you. Those who you thought you could depend upon have failed you. I want you to trust me. Release these things. Release, release, release. That's the power of the word of knowledge. Release. The rhema word says release. And God will give you the increase. Now, that's a powerful word. To whoever is in that situation, let go. Let go and let God. The battle is far bigger than you. You've been under attack by the enemy. You thought it was just natural forces at work, mere circumstance, situation. No, you are under attack. This attack was meant to drain you, was meant to confuse you and to turn you away from God. And you're on the threshold of literally, totally just removing yourself from God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've been there. I've been there. Let me tell you something. How I can minister to you is that I, too, have had the experience. Oh, don't you ever perceive or believe that being your instructor, as being your leader, that I have not confronted the forces of the enemy, because I have. This is why the word of knowledge is so in-depth within me, because of what I experienced. And I'm a testimony. When you let go and let God, he will make the miraculous happen. You're not going to find the peace of God in alcohol. You're not going to find the peace of God in another association, a physical engagement. You're going to find the peace of God when you go to God and you let go and let God. And that's a powerful word of knowledge. This morning, receive that word into your spirit. And turn to God and say, "Father God, I release all the circumstances." Say it with me. Raise your hands unto heaven and say, "Father God, I release every circumstance, every situation in my life, in my body, in my mind, in my workplace, in my finances, with my children, with my significant other, in my family, in my community. I release it to you. Now, Father God, you intervene, for I know," say this, "I know that you are omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, able to be every place at every given time, because he's a spirit. He knows no boundaries. And I release to you my life. Shape me into that ideal creation that you predestined me to be." Don't you know that we were predestined? And just thank God for your victory. It's going to manifest. It's going to manifest. You're going to see the paradigm of certain things in your life shift over from this moment on. You're going to see certain people be rearranged in your life. God is going to help you to set priorities in your life. And when this time when God brings you up and brings you out, don't you turn away. Don't get in the comfort zone, because you know what? You have to maintain the integrity of your relationship with God. This is what happens sometimes. We get too caught up in the comfort zone. You know, our finances are good. Our health is excellent. Our families are getting along. Our significant other is treating us with dignity and respect and all these things. So we get comfortable. And you know what happens sometimes? You get comfortable, you get lazy, lazy in the faith. God don't want us lazy in the faith. No, when you get to the level of ideal existence in your life, you need to give yourself a spiritual workout. That's right. Increase your level of your prayer life. When you would pray 3 times a day, go to 5 times a day. When you would fast once a week for 3, 4, 5 hours, how many hours? Go 2 days a week, the same amount of time. God asks for so little from us. Why can't we provide? What little did he require of us? He does it all. All we have to do is fill the base level requirement. And so where you would go and meditate once every couple of days, meditate 2 and 3 times a week and see how your life will continue to elevate, to elevate. God will speak revelation into your spirit being. He will speak revelation into your life. He will speak abundance. He will speak blessings. He will speak the supernatural to intervene in your life. Don't you know God has angels ready to be dispersed, discharged on our behalf? Not only just to protect us from hurt, harm, and danger, accident, incident, and peril, but God has angels that are on our side to move things out the way for us, to remove people away from us that have intentionally tried to harm us or denigrate our character. Don't you know God has his angels at our disposal to disperse? And disposal, I'm not meaning that in a derogatory way, but ready to intervene on our behalf. He does that for his beloved children. He does it. That's right. And we got to get to that phase where we're just his beloved children. We know that we're his children and we're dear children, but oh, just to be beloved to God. Oh, that is just a wonderful place to be. And that is why we must continue to progress our relationships. Just as we do things to strengthen our natural relationships with our significant others, with our families, we need to do the same thing with God. For he's the Lord our God that healeth us and give us the power to prosper. Oh, what a wonderful God. What a loving God we serve. Oh, thank you, Father God, just for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And to all the listeners on all continents, Lord, ask me that you bless, heal, touch, deliver, and bring about a positive and productive change in their life. Lord, should there be anything that's attempting their confidence in you, Father God, remove it. Should there be any physical affliction attempting to maim or limit them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, remove it. And should there be any individual that's working spirits of enchantment and witchcraft and sorcery, bind them in the name of Jesus and cast them asunder. Father God, should there be any hindrance spirits that are attempting to slow down their progression, Father God, in the name of Jesus, remove it. Remove every evil and wicked thing, Father God. We thank you. We praise you. We acknowledge you. We extol thee, O Lord. Forgive us for all of our sins. For, Lord, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Forgive us for our acts of iniquity, to even desire to do evil, God. For you know what, Lord? As Apostle Paul said, when I will to do good, I do it, but not. It is not I, but the wicked man of the flesh. Father God, show us our flesh, that we may pray the victory of Jesus over everything that is not like you, so that we may flourish and prosper in all things, even as our souls do prosper. And you said, Lord, with long life will I satisfy you. Let our long years upon the earth be full of happiness, joy, completeness, praises unto thee, Oh, God, we appreciate you. We love you. We're taking this time just to say we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you. We extol you. We acknowledge you. We adore you. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, thank you, Father God. And as instructed on last week, we went into the book of Psalms. Psalms is one of the most powerful books, and it's one of the longest books in the Holy Scriptures, the 66 books. Psalms is condensed from 1 to 150 different divisions. And Psalms is, so many people say, oh, Psalms is a song book, and they think it's for devotional. Psalms is an instructional book. It teaches us about a man who experienced tragedy. He experienced desolation. David, he experienced desolation. Before he became the anointed king sitting on the throne, he was a king in the making. The very people that he trusted and thought held his best interest in mind were envious of him and wanted to destroy him. So this man suffered brokenheartedness. Yes, he did. He did fall short. He did fall short. We know the sin of Bathsheba. We know about that. Bathsheba was another man's wife, but nevertheless, he being a natural man, he fell for the beauty of this woman and was seduced by her. God knew, and he didn't hold it against him, but there was some chastisement that God had to allow to come into his life so that when he sat him upon the throne, he would be an humble ruler, a man after God's heart. And sometimes chastisement comes in the way of things. And sometimes it's things that don't go right in our life. Sometimes it's things that don't go right within the framework of our environment that we're connected to. It can come in any way. And this book of Psalms talks about the very aspects of, you know, things that occur, various topics, various subjects in life. It talks about war, talks about desperation, talks about judgment. It even talks about the Masonic prophecy of Jesus coming. It talks about sadness, grief, desolation. Psalms is a multifaceted book. And therefore, as we're teaching each week, one chapter of Psalms, get your paper, get your pencil out, and open up your heart and open up your mind, because in every one of those Psalms, we can find ourselves. Yes, we've all had a Davidic experience where we felt like everybody was against us and wanted to hurt us. And even so much to the point, as we know in reality, that Saul, King Saul, he did acknowledge that David slew Goliath. And as a result, David became highly recognized. And Saul was glad that Goliath was gone, because Goliath was like this modern-day terrorist that existed in ancient times. There was armies that when they heard that Goliath was, and the Philistines were coming, they were scared enough of the Philistines, but when they mentioned the name of Goliath, it was like, oh my goodness, we're out of here. Because this, not only is this army bad to the bone, they've got a giant who's only 9 feet tall, and perhaps at that time, we don't know the physical composition. When we say giant, this was a behemoth type of man. And so he would go in by himself, and the Philistine army would stand behind him, and Goliath would go and slay the army by himself. So he had gained a reputation for being undefeated. God took a little scrawny young man with ruddy skin, because he was going through the transitioning from being adolescent to being going through the puberty phase. He took David, and David was this little scrawny lad. And when Goliath looked at him, he said, wait a minute, somebody bring this little scrawny man here to make fun of me, to mock me? Like, really, this can't be happening. And David knew that despite the fact that the Philistinian army was there, along with this huge behemoth that could tear a whole country apart by himself, he knew that God was with him. When God is with you, you can stand up. You stand out. He said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. He knew that God was going to give him the victory. Did he know by just looking at himself? No. But he knew that God was with him and that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and he's omnipresent. So that can't be challenged. Everything else is inferior. So he knew that God was going to deliver him. But to make a longer story short, David slew the giant and cut off his head as a testimony. When Saul saw it, he knew that God had to be with this man. He gained recognition. He wanted David to be the leader of his military regiment. But you know something? That old human nature. And Saul said, tell him that it's human nature. Tell me why. Just a second of Saul doesn't do me that way. Jealousy began to set in. And Saul no longer regarded David as a friend, but as a competitor for his position. Because he knew that God had anointed this man, prerequisite to become the king of Israel. He knew it. And Saul began to feel himself so questionable, he started to go and to consort to those who worked enchantment. When I say enchantment, we're talking about witchcraft, sorcery, wizardry, all of these elements that are satanic. He started consulting with them. So to the point that God sent Samuel from beyond. And God can do this. When God does it, it can't be questioned. And he told him that God was not pleased with him for doing these things because he had failed to keep the promises of God alive in his life and that he was veering off from the truth. So long story shorter, we're going to make it short because we need to get to the teaching. He knew that his time was being limited and that David was going to take his throne. What he did, he conspired and went out. He murdered him with the tongue. He told things on him that weren't so. Defamed this man. Turned the very people who once looked and regarded David against him. So David felt like he had no friends in the left in the world. Very few people that he even felt held his best interest in mind. So here, Psalm also talks about that. And that's why he lamented. And it definitely we know that through all of these occurrences in his life, David began to see where God was taking him. So we went last week and we went to the book of Psalms about the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, David could have gotten so angry to the point he said, I take a chance. He could have went back and murdered Saul. And Saul had so many people that now who trusted him were very questionable of his leadership. And little result would happen. But he knew that he had to follow he's the blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He knew that would have been an ungodly thing. So he decided to let go, release, and let God. Okay? Sometimes when you do that, you still are fighting your own insecurity. But when you let go and let God, he will reveal to you what his definite will is. So now we're going to the second book of Psalms. So get your Bible. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Here is the second chapter. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What is he saying? He says, why is it that people are so evil and they seem to be redundant in wickedness? It's easier for people to do evil things than it is for them to do the right thing. That was only just prevalent in that day and time. It's prevalent in this day and time and in this era. He's asking, why? The second verse. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their binds asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, I just read two verses. He's saying, in modern day terms, why is it that people that are in leadership who are debaucherous, who are just contorted and in their deeds, they're unscrupulous and unforgiving and hard-hearted and vindictive. They have all this power and they abuse the power, God, that you even allowed them to have. Why are that that way? Haven't you asked yourself? It seems like sometimes people to get in positions, they're humble before they get there. They're submissive. They're kind. They're caring. But when they get promoted, they become these different people. This is what he was asking. Why is it that way? And they sit back and they look at those. Let me tell you something. When you are anointed of God, when you're called and chosen in the area of servitude, wherever the ministry that God appoints you to, whether it's the ministry of instruction and teaching and correction, as where I am, or the ministry of discipleship, whatever your ministry is, And it's designated from God, not from a man-made institute on earth. Now, we're not even going there. When you got your credentials from God, you are certified, bona fide, anointed, appointed, demonstrated, and cannot be devastated. You stand out. Your presence brings about a series of uncomfortness with those who are workers of iniquity. And you are sometimes singled out, picked out to be picked on, because your difference makes an indifference with them. Because men love darkness rather than light. Because they're deep, even when you walk into a place, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your home, your life reveals their darkness. They become angry. They become dissatisfied. And they're trying to do what they can to make you cut your lights down and eventually get you to cut your light off. No, can't happen. But what God calls unclean, no man can call. What God calls clean, no man can call unclean. And he said, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophet no harm. So let them think that we're nobody. Let them think that they can push us around. God got a way of showing them that's more devastating than anything. Look at what happened to Egypt. Look what happened. That country literally lost all of its military might, most of its citizens, its natural resources, its agrarian provisions because of messing with God's people. You know, they better not get it twisted. God is more protective and defensive of us now than he was with the children of Israel then, because we are spiritual Israel. So he's saying, why do they do these things? The fourth verse, he says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He said, you think you're doing all this to us? You plot behind our backs, lying on us, trying to get things on us, get people on us and all that. Don't you know God sees you? And I'm speaking to you workers of iniquity who disguise yourself and say you're Christians and you're just a backstabbing, disconcerted. And Jesus even called the Pharisees out and said, come in a pit of vipers. Viper is one of the lowest forms of snakes that you can be in the company of. Why would you think that you can get away with that? Look at what every individual that tried to hurt the people of God, to cross the people of God. Look what they got. Look what they received for their service. See, the enemy would do three things. So I call it three factors. He will find a weak, watered-down, carnal Christian who's backslidden, don't even know it. Secondly, he will fool you into thinking, yeah, you step up on this person, you can get somewhere. You step up on that person, you can be promoted. You'll be acknowledged. And then once the wrath of God sets and he said, enough, you done picked on my daughter enough, I'm coming for you. When the enemy sees the wrath of God coming, he knows when he took that plumber, he took that ball down to earth, he don't want to take another ball yet. So he going to leave you. Simple one, to face the wrath of God. God will tear down your house. Let me tell you something. Sometimes he allows things to hurt your vehicle, harm your vehicle, harm your family, because he needs to get your test. If he goes, God, I'm ready. Yes, he does. Chastisement is what it's called. Don't mess with the children of God. Us little simple people who truly love the Lord, who love God's people, and even love those who are not God's people, who are in God's service, praying, believing God, trusting God, and have a true relationship with us. We're dangerous liaisons. Don't do that. You're messing with your own existence. And this is what said, God will laugh at them. You don't want God laughing at you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll fall to nothing. And he sees their confusion. God already know your plot lying on this person, this innocent person, didn't say nothing about nobody. But you don't like them because their light shows up your darkness. And you want to get some on them. You want to get some mess started. Michael Jackson had a secular song that said, you're always starting something. You always be starting something. And that's what it is. Some people thrive on negative energy. It gives them purpose. And you know what the saddest part is? When believers, those who profess to be believers, act in this manner. What can you witness and tell a person that's a non-believer and you acting out of character? You can't. And Jesus said this. He said, every branch that bringeth forth not fruit, it is cast down and hewn into the fire. When you hew something in the fire, you just throw it with force. You're hoping that it'll crack before even getting to the flames. And this is what's happening. The dividing rod has come. The separation factor has come. And then he said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. Let them think that you're getting away with something. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. He said, in the day of the harvest, I'll do the separating. That means he'll do it. And he's doing it now. We see all these false prophets and false teachers teaching the new faith gospel. There's no new faith gospel. The Lord said, I'm the Lord, that God not change not. So there's no dividing anything, new faith, new world. No. It's God's way or the highway. And you know where that highway leads. We don't even have to tell you that. Fifth verse. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore distress. That means that God is going to send stress, distress, and all these things upon them because they chose to be disobedient and walk in the ways of darkness. You don't have to do nothing. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. People lie on you, backstab you, try to set you up for failure. Don't do it. Don't do it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Sixth verse. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. That means installed, has set up leadership that is unquestionable. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Oh, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here he's establishing the prerequisition of his son coming to redeem mankind with his sovereign authority over everything. And people said, oh, Lord, no, let me tell you something. Jesus said, all power given into heaven and earth is in my hand. So we call on the name of Jesus. The powers of heaven are in our hand because we're holding the hand of the mediator who controls everything through God the Father. See, that's where the connection is. But see, evildoers don't recognize that. They just think they're doing something to be smart. Look out. Eighth verse. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. Ooh, boy. You know when Jesus told, hold that peace until I make that enemy thy footstool. This is what it is. God will take the very people to try to slip you up and make them your footstool. The day he steps you up to an improved, accelerating level of a relationship with him, to elevate you to promotion, to elevate you to your blessing. So look at them as being footstools, ladders for you to climb higher upon. He said, what? And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That means that God, this year, God is going to give parcels of land to many of us who have prayed throughout the years. Remember the prayer of Jabez? He asked God to enlarge his coast and that he would bless him to the point of prosperity that, you know, evil would not breathe him. That means he wouldn't be tempted to do anything wrong, commit any crime, because Jabez was the last born of his mother's children. And he's saying that his name, that she bore him in sorrow. God's about to take that fact that you were born in sorrow and time in your parents' life was maybe things were not very pleasant at that time. And he's about to make you a living, breathing, walking, talking, Holy Spirit-filled, blessed, prosperous testimony. And this is what he's doing. That's right. And Jesus said the first shall be last. Many of us will always put last. God is making us first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Father. And he said, and for the earth, for thy possession. Because God knows that who he can trust. God knows $5 billion that most of us, I know me, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do his, put his word first. Everything else got to come second. I'm sorry. You've got to put him first. And he knows who he can trust with wealth and with riches. That's right. See, wealth generates riches. Riches is what you accumulate after you become wealthy or well-to-do. See, God can trust me with being well-to-do. Riches is nothing. Riches is right in my house and in your house. because God said so. And you don't have to send me any finances to secure that. The word of God tells us that. Ninth verse. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That means the power of the Messiah. Jesus went about it. We would follow the footsteps of where Jesus went and his acts. They would be too numerous. All the miracles that Jesus performed were not even found, committed, and weren't even documented. It was too many. It was a multitudes and multitudes of miracles that Jesus performed. That's right. And as a result of him having all power in heaven and in earth, he could speak something and it comes to pass immediately. See, this is the thing that the enemy envies. He's so mad because you know what? He has no power to create. He tries to imitate. He can imitate, but he can't create. Only God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord has that power. Okay? And he said breaking it into the many pieces. You know, ooh, when you break part of me, I know you break glass, there's little fragments of glass and stuff, it can hurt. But all when you break a pottery vessel, that pottery turns to dust. Minuscule dust particles. That's what makes the pottery vessel, when it breaks, so inconvenient to clean up. See, piece of glass, you can eventually sweep all that up. But you got to get all the little fine pieces, because if not you step on it, you will be dancing for your own sake of sanity. But something about when pottery breaks on the ground, you got big pieces of pottery, little pieces of pottery, minuscule pieces of pottery, and even more minuscule dust particles of the pottery, because it's made out of clay. So that's what makes it so apparent and evident. 10th verse. But why? Now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. He's saying those of you who have positions of leadership. See, leadership is more than sitting up somewhere telling somebody to do. You know, number one, you're not nobody special. We're all dust looking on dust. So let's get that straight. My position as an instructor of the word, as a leader of those who are seeking truth, is no more different from those who are receiving the instruction. We're all in this together. There's no big eyes and there's no little U's. People get it all twisted, and this is where the enemy comes in, go to thinking they're something that they're not. We're all dust. That's right. We were made spirit children first. We came from God's presence. God spoke us to existence. We came through natural conception. And you know what? Then when we do depart from here, whether it be at 110 years, 115 years, whatever have you, we will return unto dust unless God merits his coming before we make our departure. So that's why we don't look down and think we're any more efficient than anyone else, because we're not. It's all about him. It's not about them. It's all about him. Here it is. We're to be humble, caring, compassionate, loving, honest. Sometimes honesty is not always a good thing, but in the long run, it's beneficial. It pays off. Serve the Lord. Here is an important factor. Underline verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That means always regard God. For every good thing happens in my life, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm not hyper-religious. I'm not even religious. I am spiritual, because I know David worshiped, the Lord must worship him in spirit and truth. I'm not indoctrinated. I'm not controlled. I have salvation. That means that I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to the word. And therefore, when I receive something good, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. I don't care who's looking at me. Who cares? Something miraculous happens for me, good for me. Thank you, Jesus. Because I know it's of your mercies I received this. If you know where I came from, then you know where I'm going. So I know what God brought me out of. So when I say that, I'm real about it. I'm real. And I'm going to tell you, the world is full of too many fake people as it is. these cosmopolitan leaders and congregations and cosmetic presentations. God is not impressed with that, because he can peel you like a grape and unfold you like a banana, and you'll be just as naked and revealed before everybody. Just be real with God, and his presence will be even the more real with you. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled by a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That means that acknowledge God. Give him thanks. Give him praise. I don't care. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Okay, maybe you got a 50-cent raise on your job. Thank you, God. That's 50 cents more than what I had. You get $100 per pay period raise. Thank you, Father God. I'm on 5 million. You know what he said? Despise not the day of small beginnings. Sometimes God got to give us baby steps. You can't take a one-year-old and tell them to climb up 25 steps. They're not ready for it. They have to learn to balance. They have to learn equilibrium. They have no judgment of how, you know, how steep the stair is to be able to go up or down. So it's a step-by-step process. It's a, as we say, as a charted progression is what we experience. And God knows what he's doing, because he has to build us up so that we will know it was him that led us into the land that flows with milk and honey. And this is what God wants us to do. He says, but blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You're blessed. People may look at you like you're crazy and say, well, you're an educator. Why are you always talking about God? Because I know he's the source of all things great and small in my life. And whether you believe it or not, this worldly education don't have no authority in it. Yeah, it can make you a few more pennies. You may get a little bit more recognition on the earthly level. But when the enemy of this society comes at you and sends his little imposters to try to do things at you, it ain't but one name that's acknowledged. It's not in the name of my master's in theology. It's not that. It's not in the name of my bachelor's of science in liberal arts. It's not in the name of my master's in psychology. It's not in any of those names of any of those earthly degrees. It's no authority, honey. Spiritual reconciliation comes only in the name of Jesus Christ. It only comes in his name. It only comes in his power. It only comes through his presence that you can see the enemy. You can just see in your mind, the enemy just back and back, back and back. Oh, say the name of Jesus. We out of here. It should be our goal as true believers. I'm not talking about cosmopolitan presenters and fakers and all of this. I'm talking about real believers. It should be our ultimate goal on this earth that that we are so prayed up, that we are so anointed, that when we walk into a room, those who are not walking in the light, who are using spirits of enchantment and other types of debaucherous practices, should see us and say, I got to get out of here. I can't. Because the light should always repel the darkness. We're not to be overcome with the darkness. The darkness should be overcame with the light. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we thank you, Father God, for the power of the Psalms. And God, as we're teaching in the book of Psalms week by week, that you build us up on our most holy faith, that we take these testimonies and that we apply them to our lives and be able to counsel others in the affairs of theirs. But we know that we are living epistles, being taught and mandated. Listen, be blessed, have a miracle-filled, God-focused, worship-centered week, and may you receive the blessing of Abraham in your life. You know, Abraham's blessings were so perpetuated, everything he did just blossomed. It just blossomed. And that's what I want the blossoming effect. When I go places, when I touch something, God, let it blossom. This is your testimony of your grace, your divinity, of your presence. And that's what we should be willing to receive in our lives so that we can touch and reach others and be blessed. Receive the miracles of God. Be protected under the blood of Jesus. But we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is a miracle-filled week, and I'm opening up my hands in my heart to receive all the miracles, breakthroughs, and areas of deliverance in my life and in your life too. But we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And if you want to reach out to me for prayer, for further counseling, you can do that. Me on the Blog Talk Network, you can inbox me. That's my manner of speaking. That's right. And I will connect back with you. Also, I do have a Gmail page. I'm going to open that up to you. I've gotten quite a few people that have communicated with you, with me. Thank you. Thank you. AbbyPhelps965@gmail.com. Whatever our conversation is, it is between us, through us. If you want me to call you directly, we'll be willing to do that. Also, we're working on the Exodus project. I'm just excited about this because you know something, as I'm waiting, I'm getting more information, more ways about how we're going to go about this. To those of you who have fallen away and you don't know how to get back, you've been so hurt through the congregation, things that have been said to you, things that have been done to you, behaviors of people. Look, it's time for you to come back. It's time for you to come back. God loves you. He has need of you. And he wants you back in the fold. And the Exodus Project is where we're recruiting people back into the fold. We're not using vain religiosity because God is a spirit. He's not a religion. And we're getting people back into the fold to do a great and mighty work of the Lord. Because this gospel has to be preached to every nation upon the earth in all geographical locations. So we already know where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty there. So some great and exciting things are coming. And listen, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And we love you and we bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got your teacher, one of your teachers. I'm a physical teacher, but the Holy Spirit teaches through me. And we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit guidance. We can't. We'll fail. And we won't reach anybody. You've got your host, the Esquire Abby A. Self, known as the Lotus City Maharani, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we thank God for you. We praise God. We bless the name of Jesus Christ, the holy angels of God, and the people of God. Let's keep on progressing forward, and we'll see you again on next Sunday. Have a blessed, miracle-filled, deliverance-filled week.